what's been running in my spirit, what the Spirit of the Lord has been telling me and sharing with me today, and just confirmed it as we're getting into this, is that you have to take your place as a child of God. This is not a position that you are trying to get to. And the problem with most believers today is that they see themselves as always trying to get to a place. It's like putting the carrot in front of the horse. That horse is always going after the carrot, and it's always just out of reach. And I believe that most believers today, that's their mentality of their position in the things of God. That the things of God are just always out of reach. Always, and you're always pressing to try to get there. Always going after that elusive carrot of the things of God. And what the Spirit of the Lord is saying is, I've not just given you the carrot, I've given you the whole bushel. And that if you'd recognize what you already have and who you already are, then you'll stop working to try to get something that I've already given you. You'll stop working to be positioned when I've already positioned you there. So you have to take your place as a son of God, as a daughter of God, and know what your rights and what your authority is. And these are the things that will cause you to begin to flow in the gifts of the Spirit and the power of God to flow through you with greater manifestation, with greater increase, as you believe, as you expect, as you know who you are in Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God has not withheld His power from His church. There are those that would look back at different times in history and see when the great healing revival was, the great charismatic renewal was, the great time of teaching, all of those things. None of those came because God opened up and decided, I'm going to make my power available. Those things happened because men and women decided to believe what God had said in His Word. And the Bible says that all of creation is waiting, is travailing, looking for a manifestation of the sons of God. Where you work, they are looking for a manifestation of a child of the Most High God, and that's you. On Wednesday nights, we've been looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26, that says, every one of you, when you come together, you have a psalm. You can be seated for just a moment. You have a psalm. You have a doctrine. You have a tongues. You have an interpretation. Notice that he said, every one of you. That means whether you feel like it or not, when you come into this place, you are bringing something with you. Don't come into this place and when you get here, say, "Now, Father, what would you give me?" As the Lord is leading us and teaching us to hear His voice, you've got to recognize who you are and what you have. And so when you come, you're bringing the measure of the Spirit of God with you. You're bringing revelation knowledge with you. Now, what happens is in a place like this and in an atmosphere like this, everybody except Selena and Hannah can be seated. When you come into a place like this, as you begin to worship and as you begin to listen to the word and as you begin to focus, then what happens is that the anointing of the Spirit of God that is on the inside of you, you get in a place that you can hear what you've already brought. But I would say this, that the real goal of the Father is not for you to get into this place and then hear. The real goal is that during the day, you are hearing. During the day, the Spirit of God is talking to you about things while you're working. Even while Dr. Neil Ray is drilling in people's mouths, the Holy Spirit, "Hey, Neil, would you come up here and sit right here, please?" The Holy Spirit is just downloading things into Him. And you can turn on the lights. You just got to make sure when you get that revelation, you go, "Oh, glory to God." Whoops, sorry, I didn't mean to put that hole right through your cheek there. That is where we need to be. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. The Lord keeps talking to me about you. And He says that with the measure that you measure to Him, it shall be measured back to you again. And that inside, you know that God has something different for you. And those are things that we've talked about. But the Spirit of the Lord would say that it's going to be a step of faith. And that there is some choices that you have to make. And that you've got to look at how you're measuring your relationship with Him. And that out of that measure, revelation will come, clarity will come, direction will come. But it's going to be a step of faith. And in some of these areas, you won't see the whole picture till you just obey what the Spirit of God is telling you to do. He's ready for you to get out of your comfort zone because He has greater things for you. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, let's go back to verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, a revealing in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, Paul prayed in line with the will of God, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. You'll start seeing revelation. You'll start seeing things by the Spirit of God, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. We haven't even scratched the surface of what God has already laid up for us. We haven't even scratched the surface of where we are going in the things of God. Thank you, Lord. You need to believe this scripture. The eyes of your understanding are enlightened every day. Thank the Father. Father God, I thank You that the eyes of my understanding are enlightened, that I know the hope of Your calling and the riches of Your glory to me is verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who do what? What is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who what? Who believe. As I was going through some things this week, I came across something that I was doing, or what I was talking about at the very first of the year. I haven't even thought about this. Now we're already, it's hard to believe, but this year is almost halfway over. It just seems like yesterday that we turned the corner at 2014. But the very first thing that the Lord had me teach was a word. Does anybody remember what that word was? Expectation. 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 Expecting God to do great things. Expecting to walk in the supernatural. Expecting the blessing to be manifested in my life. Expecting my eyes to be enlightened. Expecting lives to be changed. And I will tell you this, over the past 5 months, particularly in the last two since we started doing this on Wednesday nights, our expectation level continues to rise, to rise, to rise, to rise. So that now Wendy has operated as a prophet. Did you ever expect that before? Do you expect it now? When people come up that need to be healed, I think last year it was, and years before, it was always, well, I'm going to do my prayer. We'll let God do the work. And whether they get healed now or whether they get healed later, it's not up to me. But I hope it happens now. What is the exceeding greatness of his power? Next verse, verse 19. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? Hey, Sophia. Can we go to the next verse? Thank you. What is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, not who hope, who have an expectation? Everything that's going on Wednesday nights is for you to raise your understanding and expectation level so that you are walking and you're hearing and you're obeying, and what's going on in your life no longer holds sway over you. Whatever comes your way, the grace of God is more than sufficient. Where sin does abound, grace much more, much more, much more. And so now when somebody comes up that needs prayer for healing, I expect them to walk out completely whole. Not gradual, not down the road, but right now. And I can tell that corporately, your expectation level is rising. Thank you, Lord. And so what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power that he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That very same power that he used to raise a man that had been dead for 3 days up from the dead, that's the same power that is residing in you. And Romans 8 says that if the spirit of him that dwells in you, he shall quicken, make alive your mortal body. Now let me sit down for a minute. I'm just kidding. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. You were dead, but he's made you alive. And verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love. I want you to understand, everything that the Father wants to do in you, for you, through you, is because of how much he loves you. People hurt us. People annoy us. Sometimes we just don't like certain people. But the Father loves them. And he makes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust alike. And we didn't ever do everything. We didn't do everything always right. But our Father loved us enough to take us out of our place of sin and to make us a king and a priest to the Most High God, how much more will his love for those that we don't like, those that we've been hurt by, those that we've been annoyed by, how much more does the Father want to do the same thing for them? Never stop letting your light shine in front of those that don't want to see it. There is a spirit that is going out throughout the world and this nation that would seek to embarrass Christians, that would try to cause them to stop talking, to keep their mouth shut. And they're trying to use bullying tactics to get us to back off and not speak truth. And so many people have stopped speaking truth because they don't want to deal with the consequences that come from other individuals for speaking truth. The Spirit of God would say that in these last days, there is a remnant that will rise up, that will be unafraid of what the legal system says, that will be unafraid of what the media says, that will be unafraid of what the atheists say, that will be unafraid of what government says, but that will speak the truth and let their light so shine among men and not put it under a bushel, not hide that which they have. What if I lose business as a result of that? Well, does your supply come through your business or does it come out of the kingdom? If I compromise to keep business, then I have just stepped out of kingdom living and I have descended back into worldly living. That's not where God wants me to be. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us. Next verse. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. He has made us alive together with him. By grace you are saved. Next verse. And he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are created. When you became born again, you were literally recreated. This wasn't an experience where you just felt that something changed. There was something that happened on the inside of you. That dead spirit that was there, that was separated from the life of God, became joined to the life of Jesus. You were recreated, and somehow through time and space and eternity, you were put into that place that when Jesus was put at the right hand of the Father, Wendy was put at the right hand of the Father. Lori was put at the right hand of the Father. Kinda was put at the right hand of the Father. Every one of us was raised up together with Christ, and we were created to be in that place. Now, the problem that the Father God has had with his children is they won't believe that. They go through day after day after day seeing themselves still trying to get there. Every time, let me ask you a question. When Jesus faced the crowd that wanted to throw him off the cliff, when Jesus faced the storm as he was trying to get to the other side, when Jesus faced all the different people that wanted to do him harm, was he ever the tail in that situation? Was he always thinking, now what am I going to do? No, he was always the head. He always knew, because he was the Son of God. He had authority on the earth. And Jesus said, the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. He recognized that he was free from sin. He recognized that he was a son of God. He recognized that he had authority on the earth. And he recognized that because of who he was, Satan had no power over his life. And so he had nothing in him and had no authority to take him out. Every situation, he went to it knowing that as he obeyed what the voice of the Father said, it was all taken care of. The last 6 months for my family personally, if you had told me 2, 3, 5 years ago that this is what we were going to go through in a 6 month period of time, I would have said, how in the world are we going to be able to handle it? Our second daughter gets married back in December. We begin this marvelous journey in the things of God, and we start, and we're seeing more and more the moves of the Spirit of God. And, you know, but also, I had to step out and obey what God said. I've never done the things that I've done before. In the middle of that, Jennifer's father passed away. It's very tough emotionally. And we have to rely on the comfort of the Holy Spirit in those times. And then my oldest daughter gets married just a couple of weeks ago. That's a lot. Not only that, but I have a business, I have the church, and the Lord had me start another business. How do I deal with all of it? I could just throw up my hands and say, I can't. But you know what I found is in all those situations, as I'm listening to the voice of God, as we are rising higher and higher, the grace of God is sufficient in all things. And I don't concern myself. I don't worry about it, because I know that I'm doing exactly what God has told me to do. And I rest in His grace. I said, I rest in His grace. We need to rest in His grace. Hannah, just sing whatever the Lord places on your heart.
Well, I did get something. I don't think I can really sing it. But it was, you know, the devil's been attacking me with little things. It's nothing big, but when I was singing, I would see, you know, the fiery darts, and you know, I guess of the wicked one. And then there was this bright light, and it was a suit of armor, and he said to put on the whole armor of God. And most importantly, the shield of faith, because those darts can't get to you. The doubt can't get to you. So.
Yes.
It's all that. But anyways, I'll sing now.
That's good.
In the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, the Bible says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and that's where the temptation took place, because the devil wanted him to be destroyed before he ever got started. Well, it was after he defeated the devil in the temptation that he had to go to the Word and find out in the Word for himself who he was and what he was called to do. So after he defeated the devil, then he found himself in the Scriptures. And when he found himself, then he began to proclaim, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He may not have felt like it was, but he proclaimed it. He said, "And I am anointed." And then he told us what he was anointed for. Well, what you have to do is find out who you are in the Word, because we are just like him. We are to be imitators of him. And when you find out who you are in the Word, then boldly proclaim what God has called you to do. Now, Jesus didn't do that to the crowd. He did it for himself. You see, there's only three ways for things to enter into your heart. That's the eye gate and the ear gate and the mouth gate. So when you proclaim, "This is what God's called me to do, this is what I'm anointed to do," that's when it begins to start taking place in your life. So find out what the Word says about you. Say what the Word says about you. And as you do that, the anointing to do it will be there.
Yeah. Yes. And as he was saying that, as Jesus, when he overcame, when he used the Word of God, and always said to Satan, "It is written. It is written. It is written." It says that he returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. Every time you respond with the Word of God, "It is written." Every time victory comes because you use the Word of God, "It is written." There is a measure of the power of the Spirit of God that increases in you as a result of that. Sometimes it feels like, why am I having to push? Why am I having to speak the Word? Why am I having to do these things? Why is the devil attacking me? All of those kinds of thoughts that run through your mind. know that if you will stay with the word, it is worth it. Give me a moment. Every one of us have dealt with shortcomings, have dealt with failures, have dealt with things. And in most people's lives, it seems like there are recurring issues. It could be recurring addictions. It could be recurring failures. It just seems like, how come every time I come up against this, that I never seem to get past it? You know, and you've heard the preacher say, well, if you're being tested, pass the test so that you don't have to take that test again. But, you know, sometimes it just feels like that there's these areas that I've never quite got a handle on. And they're recurring problems in my life. How do I get past those? The Lord would say that you need to get the mindset of what victory will produce for you. You need to know that when the temptation comes, that when the difficulty comes, that when that thing that you don't like to do, that thing that holds you in bondage, when that comes, you need to know that if you will stand against it, that what happens with the measure of the Spirit on the other side is worth the standing that you go through, is worth you taking the time and saying, I will not yield to this. I will speak the word. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm a child of the Most High God. And I'm not talking about big areas either. I'm talking about little areas. I'm talking about, you know, maybe for me it's picking up my socks. Because it really frustrates Jennifer that I don't pick them up. But I don't make the effort. But if I would stand against that, again, it's a very small area. But Jesus said it's the small areas, the foxes that spoil the vines. And we want to step into our place of sonship as a child of God, and we want to obey His voice every time. Every time. Have victory in the little areas. Victory in the little areas is going to create more expectation, more power of the Spirit that is operating in your life. Let me stop for a moment. There's all kinds of things that the Lord is talking to me about with regards to this, and I'm going to start getting into it on Sunday morning, and we'll continue on Wednesday night. But now, let me share with you something that my brother-in-law called me. And this is the time for you to start, if you already have something to think about or to share with. We're going to, you know, set aside some time, about 10 minutes or so, for the Lord to use you. So Abraham calls me today and said, I can't make it tonight, but I really believe that the Lord, you know, showed me something. I want you to share this with everybody. He said, I was thinking about, what does it take for me to be on fire for God? on fire. We hear that term. Wow, that person's really on fire for God. How do I get on fire for God? He said, there's two things. Number one, he said, if you have fire going, if you're not continually feeding the fire and putting more wood in the fire, that fire is going to go out. Now, the Holy Spirit never goes out. But what are we feeding ourselves? Are we feeding that? Are we feeding the Word? Are we feeding ourselves with the other junk that has then caused us to quench or to put out the fire in our life? Feed the fire, and the fire will continue to get brighter and brighter and brighter. Feed it with the Word of God. Feed it with obedience to His Word. Feed it, feed it, feed it. And the other thing is you don't have to touch the fire to feel the effects of it. If it's a big fire, you can feel the heat. And God says, let His glory radiate from you to those around you. Recognize that wherever you go, you're radiating. Amen. Amen. This is so good. This is so good. Y'all can be 3-4 more. Thank you so much. So, you know what? I take that back. I'm going to let you keep playing. Because the music, you can sit down, Hannah. The music actually creates an atmosphere that the people feel more comfortable in. So, sorry about that. So, what has the Lord given you tonight? What did you bring with you? Come up and share. Glory to God. Thank you, Father.
Get out of your comfort zone. I heard in my spirit God say, and get in my comfort zone. So it ain't a problem. And I mean, if Frank hadn't got up here and said what he said, I had it ready. Just if you have ears to hear, the exact same thing. You know, it said that Jesus opened up the book. They delivered him the book, and he opened it up, and he found the place where it was written, and he found out who he was. See, God said he sent his word to perform it. His word was already here, but until it got spoke back, that's what Jesus did. He spoke it back. Now, we got a word for us. It's in Galatians 4, and it's what Pastor Mark started talking about, knowing who you are. So find you in the Bible. And I'm going to help you. Just one scripture right here. Chapter 4. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. He's talking about in the natural. But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world, before we got saved, before Jesus did what he did. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Find yourself in here. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, thou art no more servants, but sons. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. That everybody talks about Abba Father, my Father. But they're not, if you listen to what that says, you'll know you're a son. And once you've resisted the devil, when Jesus spoke, you know, the devil tempted him three times in Luke 4. And it says that he departed from him. One scripture, I think it's in the Amplified, said he left him for a more opportune time. Well, y'all explain to me where the next 3.5 years that time came to pass. I never read it. He walked. Pastor brought up tonight about how this came about, that came about. And he walked through the midst of them. He didn't consider it. He knew who he was. He was a son. When we start realizing, now, we're not learning all this stuff on Wednesday nights just for us. I want you to know that. There's a remnant. There's a thing going on in this church for a purpose. And it's not for us. It's for him. You get down there thinking it's for you. It ain't. It's for him. It's a big deal. The ones that come on Wednesday nights are the ones that are hungry. I'm not saying the ones that come on Sunday aren't hungry. But you're putting yourself in a position on Wednesday night to receive. That's good. Thank you, Jesus.
Who are you? Anybody else? Watch out, Miss Kendra might get used to this.
On Sunday mornings, we've been talking about wisdom, and I've been teaching them that wisdom is the principal thing. And I just want to encourage y'all to seek God's wisdom. Every morning, you will never have enough wisdom. You need wisdom for every day. You can get wisdom for your marriages, for your family, you know, just to do your job. And two ways to get wisdom is ask God for it and confess it. I confess wisdom for my body, my finances, how to do my job, how to open my daycare. And another thing is, I told him about Solomon. Solomon was the wisest man in the Bible, but he was the richest man in the Bible. So wisdom and riches go together.
Yes, they do.
Amen. I receive that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, before she talks, I want to use Kenda and Heather as an example. Last week, the Holy Spirit just nudged them. I had to kind of, in obedience, you know, God, it just had me start having people come up and to kind of just give them a nice little kick. And now that they've been nudged, it's like, this isn't so bad after all. And I want to share what the Spirit of God. And this is what it's about. This just blesses me.
I just have a scripture. Psalm 138:8. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. So whatever situation you're going through in life, the Lord will perfect your situation. Anything that concerns you, the Lord will perfect it. Just leave your worries at the door. And that's what I've been dealing with this week with the car insurance deal. Just God's going to handle it. So that's all I had.
Amen. Thank you.
Because you're the head, not the tail. Insurance is not the head. You have a word from God. Amen. Amen.
This is what God gave me this morning. Go along with what Kendra said. Our Father reveals to us His plans for our life. Jeremiah 29:11-13 says, I have plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. When you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. The only way we will know those plans is to be led by and guided by the Holy Spirit. We need to be committed enough to give our full determination and humility to the things of God. It is then and only then that we receive more revelation and therefore walk in the abundant life that Jesus provided. Sister Jean and I were talking earlier. You know, there is so much revelation. It's so much God has to give us. And He's not going to give it to you all at one time because we couldn't handle it. So He gives it to you, and you have to be committed to Him, to hear from Him. And the more you hear from Him, the more He'll give to you. So we need to be open up, committed to hear what it is He has to say to us, committed to live that life. And we'll be given more in that abundant life. People will look at you and say, how is that happening? And the only reason you're going to be able to tell them that is God, my Father, loves me. And He has allowed me to live in His riches and in His wealth. And so we just have to be committed to hear from Him, hear from that word. Because He's going to give it to you more and more. And you wonder how it's going on. But God is doing it because you're listening and obeying.
Amen. Miss Thelma, do you have anything to share?
You said it in Jeremiah 29. We have an expected end, but you got to expect something in the beginning. And Psalm 62:5 says that our expectation is of God. Back in December 2013, rather than make resolutions, I have faith projects. So in December, I said, Lord, I want to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Pastor Mark had not started teaching about it. I had those scriptures, Jeremiah and Psalms. And I said, I expect to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Well, January 1st, Pastor Mark taught on expectation. In March, Sister Mary Frances came and gave us words. How do you get that expectation from God? By meditating in His word. I am so thankful to our pastor here for pushing us on. We have to do some walking. He'll push us on. And thank you.
Amen. So those are all good words for tonight. We can take everything. Find yourself. Go to the Word. Do what Jesus did. Expect an expectation. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank You for Your love. Thank You that You loved us so much that You would even give us direction every day. That You would reveal these things to us tonight. that you would raise our levels of expectation, that you would show us and reveal to us who we are in your word, who we are in Christ Jesus. Father, we're so grateful. We're so thankful. And we love you so much. Thank you for your grace. And I declare that we have ears to hear, and not only to hear, but to do those things that have been brought forth tonight in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, glory to God. Take a few minutes, hug somebody, bless them in Jesus' name. Hey, you don't have to stop walking in the gifts of the Spirit when you're talking to people here in the church. Allow yourself to continue to be used. Say something to them to encourage them, to edify them, to build them up in Jesus' name. Amen. Go out rejoicing. Amen.